Daniel Blum, member of the committee.
Philip Jacobs, I'm from the legal services of the South African Police Service.
Sam Mawate, Civilian Secretary of the Police.
Ismail Hussain from the Fraud Immunity Monitoring Group.
Krishna
Dixon,
Committee
Secretary
for the
Thank you, Chair. Chair, I've been asked to do the briefing. It, as you know, it is a Department of Justice bill, but it was actually dealt with jointly by the two committees, Justice and Police. Chair, without further ado, I just want to mention I've made an extract of the respective provisions that's being amended in the other pieces of legislation. In other words, the Criminal Procedure Act, the South African Police Service Act, I haven't included because it's just a clerical insertion. And then also the Explosives Act and the Firearms Control Act. I've asked the Secretary to give members a copy because I think it's difficult to relate the amendments if you do not have the other legislation available. Chair, without further ado, if I can start with the bill to go in detail through it. I think the long title, Chair, has been really covered by the broad presentation that was made by the Secretary of Police the previous time. And maybe we can come back to the long title after we dealt with the contents of the bill itself. Chair, then if we go to clause 1, the following heading is hereby substituted for the heading of Chapter 3 of the Criminal Procedure Act. Chair, that is just to align the heading of the Act with the contents of this bill. It should read then ascertainment of bodily features of persons. Presently, it only reads a settlement of bodily features of accused. So it is just to broaden that according to the scope of the bill. Chair, then, clause 2 inserts into the Criminal Procedure Act the new section 36A, 36B, and 36C in chapter 3 of the Act. Now, because there is another a number of concepts inserted into the Act, there is an interpretation clause inserted, and that is 36A. And the first definition that we have that is inserted into the Criminal Procedure Act is that of appropriate person. An appropriate person means an adult member of a child's family or a caregiver of the child, which includes any person other than a parent or guardian who factually cares for a child, including a foster parent. A person who cares for a child with the implied or expressed consent of a parent or guardian of the child. A person who cares for a child while the child is in temporary safe care. A person at the head of a child and youth care centre where a child has been placed. A person at the head of a shelter. A child and youth care worker who cares for a child without appropriate family care in the community. And a child at the head of a child-headed head or adult. As household, if such a child is 16 years or older. Chair, the reason for this is where we have in the Act, where we deal with children in terms of the taking of fingerprints, the Act has been aligned with the Children's Act in order to ensure that a child is assisted whenever these intrusive type of actions is performed in terms in respect of a child. Also, a new definition is that of authorized person with reference to photographic images, fingerprints or body prints, any police official in the performance of his or her official duties. A definition of body prints, that means prints other than fingerprints taken from a person and which are related to a crime scene, but excludes prints of the genitalia, buttocks, or breasts of a person. A child, of course, in line with the Constitution, means a person under the age of 18 years. The Child Justice Act is defined. And then comparative search, a key provision in terms of the usage of different databases provided for in the bill. Comparative search means the comparing of fingerprints, body prints, or photographic images taken under any power conferred by this chapter by an authorized person against any database referred to in Chapter 5A of the South African Police Service Act. In the definition of the Police Service Act, and then clause two, subclause 2, any police official who, in terms of this Act or any other law, takes a fingerprint, a body print, or ascertains any bodily feature of a child, must have due regard to the personal rights relating to privacy, dignity, and bodily integrity of the child, do so in a private area not in view of the public, ensure the presence of a parent or guardian of the child, a social worker or an appropriate person, and treat and address the child in a manner that takes into account his or her gender and age. Chair, the new section 36B to be inserted, powers in respect of fingerprints of accused and convicted persons. Chair, the difference here is that presently the Criminal Procedure Act in section 37 says that the police may take fingerprints. The purpose of this section is to include a part where there's an obligation on the police to take certain fingerprints. And this obligation is that the police official must take the fingerprints or must cause such fingerprints to be taken of any person arrested upon any charge related to an offence referred to in Schedule 1 of the Criminal Procedure Act. And as we know, those are the most serious types of offences: treason, sedition, public violence, murder, culpable homicide, and there's quite a long list, but those are the most serious offences. A person released on bail if such person's fingerprints were not taken upon arrest. A person upon whom a summons has been served in respect of any offence referred to in Schedule 1. A person convicted by a court and sentenced to a term of imprisonment without the option of a fine, whether suspended or not, if the fingerprints were not taken upon arrest. And then E, a person convicted by a court in respect of any offence which the Minister has, by notice in the Gazette, declared to be an offence for the purposes of this subparagraph. Chairperson, the rationale behind this paragraph E is that where there are offences which are not Schedule 1 offences, but as a result of the frequent occurrence of that offence or the seriousness, the impact on the on policing, the Minister of Justice can add this to ensure that fingerprints are taken in respect of those offences. And then the second, the subsection 2, that actually is very much the same as we have at the moment. That is the discretionary part, that the police official may take or cause fingerprints to be taken of any person arrested upon any charge, or fingerprints to be taken of a person deemed under section 57(6) to have been convicted in respect of any offence which the Minister has, by noticing the Gazette, declared to be an offence for the purposes of the subsection. Chair, just for reference purposes, section 57(6) of the Criminal Procedure Act relates to admission of guilt fines. Then obligation that's placed for the storing of the fingerprints. All these fingerprints that's taken in terms of the obligation as well as discretionary must be stored on the fingerprint database maintained by the National Commissioner as provided for in Chapter 5A of the South African Police Service Act. Then a provision to ensure that, you know, it is errors do occur with the taking of fingerprints. Sometimes they are not clear. They have to be retaken. So subsection 4 provides that the police official may again take the fingerprints of any person referred to in subsection 1. If the fingerprints taken on the previous occasion do not constitute a full, complete set of his or her fingerprints, or some or all of the fingerprints taken on the previous occasion are not of a sufficient quality to allow satisfactory analysis, comparison, or matching, or the fingerprints taken were lost, misfiled, or not stored on the database. Subsection 5. The fingerprints taken under any power conferred by this section may be the subject of a comparative search. And 6A then, subject to paragraph C, any fingerprints taken under any power conferred by this section must, upon the conviction of an adult person, be retained on the database referred to in chapter 5A. So not only must it be stored, it must be maintained, and upon conviction of a child, be retained on a database referred to in chapter 5A of the South African Police Service Act, subject to the provisions relating to the expungement of a conviction and sentence of a child, as provided for in section 87 of the Child Justice Act. Chair, the reason is that that mechanism is created in section 87 of the Child Justice Act, in terms of which a child can be can apply to the Department of Justice for the expungement of certain convictions. In a case where a decision was made not to prosecute a person, if a person is found not guilty at his or her trial, or if his or her conviction is set aside by a superior court, or if he or she is discharged at a preparatory examination, or if no criminal proceedings with reference to such fingerprints or body prints were instituted against the person concerned in any court, or if the prosecution declines to prosecute, must be destroyed within 30 days after the officer commanding the division responsible for criminal records of the South African Police Service has been notified. And Chair, you will recall that there was quite some discussion in our previous meeting on the briefing on this section. It is actually a reiteration of what is presently in the Criminal Procedure Act in terms of fingerprints where a person was found not guilty or not charged at all. Then a cap on what this powers and this databases may be used for. The fingerprints retained in terms of this section may only be used for purposes relating to the detection of crime, the investigation of an offence, the identification of missing persons, the identification of unidentified human remains, or the conducting of a prosecution. These subparagraphs do not prohibit the use of any fingerprints taken under any powers conferred by this section for the purpose of establishing if a person has been convicted of an offence. Chair, of course, that is one of the main purposes of a criminal database, to provide the courts with a previous conviction before the sentencing of an accused convicted person. Any person who, with regard to any fingerprints, body prints, or photographic images referred to in this chapter, uses or allows the use of those fingerprints, body prints, or photographic images for any purpose that is not related to the detection of crime, the investigation of an offence, the identification of missing persons, the identification of unidentified human remains, or the conducting of prosecution, or who tampers with or manipulates the process of the fingerprints, body prints, or images in question, or who falsely claims that such fingerprints, body prints, or images have been taken from a specific person, whilst knowing them to have been taken from another person or source. In other words, Chair, there are two safeguards in terms of the use of the fingerprints. The use is limited for the purposes that I've mentioned. And secondly, it is actually a criminal offence for a police officer to perform any one of these acts that relates to the tampering or manipulating of fingerprints, to falsely imply a person in a crime. Then on the destruction of fingerprints, Chair, the bill provides that the National Commissioner must destroy the fingerprints of a child upon receipt of a certificate of expungement issued in terms of section 87.4 of the Child Justice Act. Subsection 1D applies to any person convicted of any crime, irrespective of the sentence, including a person serving such sentence at the time of the announcement of the section, and where applicable, any person released on parole in respect of such a sentence irrespective of the fact that the person was convicted of the offence in question prior to the commencement of this section. Chair, section 36C, I think needs some clarification. We have just broadly referred to this in the initial briefing. In the present Firearms Control Act, as well as in the Explosives Act, there is a provision where, in terms of which it's not necessary to arrest a person to take fingerprints, because the person is being contacted within a group, and the reason for taking the fingerprints is not really only to investigate the case in respect of the guilt of that person, but to exclude certain persons from the investigation. In other words, comparing the fingerprints can mean that you will definitely see this person, his fingerprint is not in a on a firearm that found within a group of people. So you can immediately exclude that person from handling the firearm and being physically in possession of the firearm. Now this whole concept is being broadened in respect of all Schedule 1 offences. In other words, it's a principle that has been adopted by Parliament in respect of firearms offences and explosives offences, but it can also apply in other circumstances, so that concept is broadened by providing that any police official may, without warrant, take fingerprints or body prints of a person or a group of persons if there is reasonable grounds to suspect that the person or that one or more of the persons in that group has committed an offence referred to in Schedule 1. And secondly, believe that the prints or the results of an examination thereof will be of value in the investigation by excluding or including one or more of those persons as a possible perpetrator of the offence. Then, Chair, repetition of what we've seen in the rest of the article on how these fingerprints must be stored, how they must be maintained, in which circumstances it must or may be destroyed. So I'm not going to repeat all that again. That is to the end of the part that is being inserted. The new section 36A, B and C to be inserted in the Criminal Procedure Act. Chair, I think before I go further, I want to leave it to your discretion on whether you maybe first want to discuss these issues or do you want me to take you through the whole bill? I just don't want to clutter it to such an extent that it becomes difficult to go back on some issues. Sorry, Chair? Thank you, Chair. Chair, the next clause, clause 3, is really an amendment of the present section 37. And I must just caution, Chair, you will see references here to the taking of bodily samples. Now, that has been part in another, totally another context in the initial bill. And you recall that we said that the DNA issues were actually removed from the initial bill and that will be addressed later on. But you will find that there are references in this text here to bodily samples. But the fact is, at the moment, we have the provision in the Criminal Procedure Act in Section 37, in terms of which we can take blood samples for comparison and also other bodily samples. So where it appears here, it is the present provisions which are on the law book and which later on will be revisited by Parliament when they look at the DNA issues. But we can't completely remove that from the bill, because that will leave the police in the interim period without any power to actually take bodily samples. Chair, so Section 37 really, as it is being amended here in Clause 3, are then it's really then a consequential amendment to align it with what has been inserted now into the bill, or into the Act, to align the present text of Section 37 with that. So you'll see, Chair, that in 37.1a, the deletion of fingerprints, palm prints, or body prints, and we insert their body prints. The reason is we have now properly defined the term body prints in Section 36a, or actually in the beginning of the bill. So just aligning the text to provide for that amendment. And care really in respect of the whole of that, you will see only relating to the definitions that have been inserted and the issue of palm prints, body prints, footprints, and that is throughout the text. So the basic principles in section 37 as they are now at the moment are not really are not changed. It's just aligned with the insertion that we have made. You will see, Chair, if we go to subsection 5, for example, the deletion of the part there on the person has been found not guilty, etc., that is before, because it's now addressed in another place in the Act. Chair, also clause 4, really only an alignment and consequential amendment that's made. Section 212 of the Criminal Procedure Act relates to a certificate that can be issued by certain experts, and they are mentioned there in 212A, paragraph A, 1-6. And once again, only aligning to refer to fingerprints and body prints as they have now been defined in the bill. Chair, that is true for the whole of the amendments to section 212. If we go to clause 5, amendment of section 225 of the Act, now section 225 once again deal with evidence of prints or bodily appearance of an accused, and Chair, it's once again just to align it with the new definitions that we have inserted and the amendments in 36A, B and C. Chair, then we come to clause 6, and clause 6 is an amendment of the South African Police Service Act. As I said, I haven't included a copy of that Act because this is not amending existing provisions, it's inserting whole new provisions, which will be a new section 15A. And section 15A makes provision that the National Commissioner must ensure that fingerprints, body prints or photographic images, and those are all the provisions we refer to in terms of which you may take those prints and images, must store, maintain, administer and have readily available, whether in computerized or other form, and located within the division of the service responsible for criminal records. And that will, of course, also include the fingerprints taken under the Firearms Control Act, the Explosives Act, and any order of the Department of Correctional Services. Secondly, the National Commissioner must ensure that the fingerprints and photographic images of persons whose names must be included in the National Register for Sex Offenders are determined under Section 50 of the Criminal Law, Sexual Offences and Related Matters Amendment Act, are taken and dealt with in accordance with subsection 1. The provisions of this chapter apply to the fingerprints, body prints or photographic images stored, maintained and administered by the Division of the Service responsible for criminal records prior to the coming into operation of this Act, and nothing in this chapter shall affect the use of such fingerprints, of such prints and photographic images for the purposes set out in subsections 4 and 5. This is a transitional provision, Chair, to allow that the present work that's been done by the Criminal Records Centre will be continued under this new provision. Subsection 4, subject to the subsection 5, that fingerprints, body prints or photographic images shall only be used for the purposes relating to the detection of crime, investigation of an offence, identification of missing persons, identification of unidentified human remains, or the conducting of this prosecution. As we see, this is a mirrored image of what is contained in the Criminal Procedure Act. Then subsection 4 does not prohibit the use by the police officer commanding the division of the service responsible for criminal records, or his or her delegate, of any fingerprint stored in terms of this section for the purposes of establishing if a person has been convicted of an offence. Subsection 6, any person, and this is again a mirror image of what is contained in the Criminal Procedure Act, and that again relates to the abuse or tampering, manipulating of fingerprints, once again providing that it's a criminal offence to perform any one of those actions. And as has been pointed out during the initial briefing, it is regarded as very serious because there is no provision for a fine in this. A police official who is found guilty of this can be imprisoned for a period not exceeding 15 years. Chair, 15B, also insertion in the SAPS Act, any fingerprints or photographic images stored in terms of this chapter may for purposes related to the detection of crime, investigation of an offence, the identification of missing persons, identification of unidentified human remains, or the conducting of a prosecution be checked against the databases of the Department of Home Affairs, Department of Transport, or any Department of State in the national sphere of government, irrespective of whether the photographic images or prints stored on these respective databases were collected before or after the coming into operation of this section. Chair, we saw in the initial briefing that that is one of the main shortcomings in the present system, that these different databases do not speak to each other, and that especially on a level of interfacing with each other, there is a need to have this. And then any person who conducts a comparative search as contemplated in subsection 1 for any purpose that's not related to the circumstances set out in that subsection is guilty of an offence and liable on conviction to imprisonment for a period not exceeding 15 years. This is to render the same protection in terms of privacy to this comparison of the databases than we have with the South African Police Service database. And then, Chair, once again, also on the abuse of such fingerprints or body prints, also a criminal offence that's created for a period not exceeding 15 years if a person is found guilty thereof. Chair, on the operational side, Section 15C, an obligation on the National Commissioner in consultation with the Minister to, within 6 months of the commencement of this section, to issue national instructions regarding all matters which are reasonably necessary or expedient to be provided for in relation to this chapter and which must be followed by all police officials, including the following: the collection of the prints, taking of photographic images, the storage, maintenance and administration of the fingerprints, body prints and photographic images collected in terms of this chapter. Then the use of the information made available in terms of this chapter and the manner in which statistics must be kept by the division responsible for criminal records. In relation to all information collected, stored and analysed in terms of this chapter, which shall include the recording and maintaining of statistics on all exhibits collected at crime scene. The National Commissioner must develop training courses with reference to the national instructions referred to in subsection 1 and ensure that adequate training takes place within the service. Chair, 15D is giving effect to another piece of legislation which is in Parliament at the moment relating to the protection of the privacy on databases, and this provides that the National Commissioner must secure the integrity of information on the database provided for in this chapter by taking appropriate, reasonable, technical and organisational measures to prevent the loss of or unauthorised destruction of information, to protect it against unlawful access to or processing of information on the database, and then to give effect to that, the National Commissioner must take reasonable measures to identify all reasonable foreseeable internal and external risks to information on the database, to establish and maintain appropriate safeguards, and that can include personnel or physical security, to regularly verify that the safeguards are effectively implemented, and to ensure that the safeguards are continually updated in response to new risks or deficiencies in previously implemented safeguards. The National Commission must have due regard to generally accepted information security practices and procedures which may apply to the service generally or be required in terms of specific laws and regulations relating to security of information applicable to the service. The National Commissioner and the Director General of the Departments of Transport, Home Affairs and Correctional Services must, under the chairpersonship of the National Commissioner, within 6 months of the commencement of this section, develop standard operating procedures regarding access to the databases, and the implementation of safety measures to protect the integrity of the information contained on the relevant databases. Once again, this is operational to ensure the interaction between the departments and the officials involved. Then also, other databases may only be accessed in terms of standard operating procedures referred to in subsection 4. Now, these other databases are databases of other departments not mentioned here, but for which provision has been made in section 15A. Chair, then, if we come to clause 7, once again, this is existing provisions in the Firearms Control Act, and they are just updated and aligned to the definitions that we have in terms of authorized person, body prints, child, comparative search, etc. So both clause 7 and clause 8 is the existing provision in the Firearms Control Act that is just updated in terms of the new legislation. Chair, the same is true in respect of clause 9, the existing provision that relates to groups of persons where the fingerprints can be taken. Existing provision in the Explosives Act in terms of the definitions and also the power to take fingerprints of a person in a group. Chair, thank you. That is basically it. I'm not going through those because it's existing provisions, which we have a copy in the bill as well. You'll really see it's just consequential amendments by inserting the new definitions in terms of for reference to body prints and palm prints, footprints, fingerprints, etc. Thank you, Chair.
Just a question for clarification on page 10 of mine, 15C. I see that the National Commission must in consultation with the minister. Now, we are having a general and no more commission. But are you going to change the wording here or is it going to stick like this?
Yeah. Chair, the National Commissioner remains, in terms of even the Police Service Act, remains the National Commissioner. It's the same as with the Chief of the SANDF. Although he's the Chief of the SANDF, he's a general. So it is just the form of address that's been changed, the rank. But he remains the National Commissioner of the South African Police Service. So I'm sure that the way in which we refer to this is correct.
Because you are having a general there, and this general has intimidated all of us not to ask questions. If he was not here, there was a lot of questions, but now we are scared of the general. He is running all the police stations here in the Western Cape.
Hey, the guy.
Everything, the guy that.
Yeah, I'm not sure. Okay, so tomorrow.
Let me call one of them.